Chapter 41. Fourth deserter, 'tis the same for us, but for this heap of straw. Amidoxy is the only one of us who is safe and sound. He kisses the dead woman. Retreat continues. A train of 6-horse baggage wagons lumbers past, a mounted sergeant alongside. Among the baggage lie wounded soldiers and sick women. Sergeant of the wagon train, if so be they are dead, ye may as well drop them over the tailboard. 'Tis no use straining the horses unnecessary. Wagons halt. Two of the wounded who have just died are taken out, laid down by the roadside, and some muddy snow scraped over them. Exeunt wagons and sergeant. An interval. More English troops pass on horses, mostly shoeless and foundered. Enter Sir John Moore and officers. Moore appears on the pale evening light as a handsome man, far on in the 40s, the orbits of his dark eyes showing marks of deep anxiety. He is talking to some of his staff with vehement emphasis and gesture. They cross the scene, and go on out of sight, and the squashing of their horses' hoofs in the snowy mud dies away. Fifth deserter incoherently in his sleep. Poise forelocks open pans right hands to pouch handle cartridge bring it quick motion by top well off prime shut pans cast about load. First deserter throwing a shoe at the sleeper, shut up that. Do you think you are a crudy in the awkward squad still? Second deserter, I don't know what he thinks, but I know what I feel. Would that I were at home in England again, where there's old-fashioned tipple, and a proper God Almighty instead of this eternal woman and baby. Eh, at home a leaning against old Bristol Bridge, and no questions asked, and the winter sun slanting friendly over Baldwin Street as I used to do. 'Tis my very belief, though I have lost all sure reckoning, that if I were there, and in good health, 'twould be New Year's Day about now. What it is over here I don't know. Eh, tonight we should be a-setting in the tap of the dam, and Eve lifting up the tune of Delight O' the Moon. 'Twere a romantical thing enough. I used to go somit like this, he sings in a nasal tone, colon, I thought it had been day, and I stole from here away, but it proved to be the light o' the moon. Retreat continues, with infantry in good order. Hearing the singing, one of the officers looks around, and detaching a patrol enters the ruined house with the file of men, the body of soldiers marching on. The inmates of the cellar bury themselves in the straw. The officer peers about, and seeing no one prods the straw with his sword. Voices under the straw, oh, hell, stop it, we'll come out, mercy, quarter. The lurkers are uncovered. Officer, if you are well enough to sing body songs, you are well enough to march. So out of it, or you'll be shot, here and now. Several, you may shoot us, Captain, or the French may shoot us, or the devil may take us. We don't care which. Only we can't stir. Pity the women, Captain, but do what you will with us. The searchers pass over the wounded, and stir out those capable of marching, both men and women, so far as they discover them. They are pricked on by the patrol. Exeunt patrol and deserters in its charge. Those who remain look stolidly at the highway. The English rear guard of cavalry crosses the scene and passes out. An interval. It grows dusk. Spirit ironic, quaint PC, and real romance of war. Spirit of the pities, mock on, shade, if thou wilt. But others find PC ever lurk, where pit-pats poor mankind. The scene is cloaked in darkness. Scene 2, the same, it is nearly midnight. The fugitives who remain in the cellar having slept off the effects of the wine, are awakened by a new tramping of cavalry, which becomes more and more persistent. It is the French, who now fill the road. The advance guard having passed by, Delibert's division, Lorge's division, Merle's division, and others, successively cross the gloom. Presently come the outlines of the Imperial Guard, and then, with a start, those in hiding realize their situation, and are wide awake. Napoleon enters with his staff. He has just been overtaken by a courier, and orders those round him to halt. Napoleon, let there a fire be lit. Eh, here and And now, the lines within these letters brook no pause in mastering their purport. Some of the French approach the ruined house, and, appropriating what wood is still left there, heap it by the roadside, and set it alight. A mixed rain and snow falls, and the sputtering flames throw a glare all round. Second deserter under his voice, we be shot corpses. Eh, faith, we be. Why didn't I stick to England, and true doxology, and leave foreign doxies and their wine alone? Mate, can ye squeeze another shardful from the cask there, for I feel my time has come. Oh, that I had but the barrel of that firelock I throwed away, and that wasted powder to prime and load. This bullet I shot to squench my hunger would do the rest. Yes, I could pick him off now. First deserter, you lie low with your picking off, or he may pick off you. Thank God the babies are gone. Maybe we shan't be noticed, if we've but the courage to do nothing, and keep hid.
Napoleon dismounts, approaches the fire, and looks around.
Napoleon, another of their dead horses here, I see. Officer, yes, sire. We have counted 1800 odd from Benevent hither, pistoled thus. Some weed to finish for them. Headlong haste spared them no time for mercy to their brutes. One half their cavalry now tramps afoot. Napoleon, and what's the tale of wagons we've picked up? Officer, Spanish and all abandoned, some 400, of magazines and firelocks, full 10 load, and stragglers and their girls a numerous crew. Napoleon, eh, devil plenty those. Licentious ones these English, as all canting peoples are. And prisoners? Officer, 700 English, sire, Spaniards 5,000 more. Napoleon, 'tis not amiss. To keep the new year up they run away.
He soliloquizes as he begins tearing open the dispatches.
Nor Pitt nor Fox displayed such blundering as glares in this campaign. It is, indeed, enlarging folly to foolhardiness, to combat France by land. But how expect aught that can claim the name of government from Canning, Castlery, and Percival, cabalers all poor sorry politicians to whom has fallen the luck of reaping in the harvestings of Pitt's bold husbandry?
He unfolds a dispatch, and looks for something to sit on. A cloak is thrown over a log, and he settles to reading by the firelight. The others stand round. The light, crossed by the snowflakes, flickers on his unhealthy face and stoutening figure. He sinks into the rigidity of profound thought, till his features lower.
So this is their reply. They have done with me. Britain declines negotiating further, flouts France and Russia indiscriminately. Since one dethrones and keeps as prisoners the most legitimate kings, that means myself the other suffers their unworthy treatment for sordid interests, that's for Alexander. And what is Georgie made to say besides? Pacific overtures to us are wiles woven to unnerve the generous nations round lately escaped the galling yoke of France, or waiting so to do. Such, then, being seen, these tentatives must be regarded now as finally foregone, and crimson war be faced to its fell worst, unflinchingly. The devil take their lecture. What am I, that England should return such insolence?
He jumps up, furious, and walks to and fro beside the fire. By and by cooling he sits down again.
Now as to hostile signs in Austria.
He breaks another seal and reads.
Ah, swords to cross with her someday in spring. Thinking me cornered over here in Spain she speaks without disguise, the covert pact twixt her, and England owning now quite frankly, careless how works its knowledge upon me. She England, Germany. Well I confront them. That there is no sufficient force of French between the Elbe and Rhine to prostrate her, let new and terrible experience soon disillude her of. Yea, she may arm. The opportunity she late let slip will not subserve her now. Spirit of the pities, has he no heart hints, that this Austrian court, whereon his mood takes mold so masterful, is rearing naively in its nursery room a future wife for him? Spirit of the years, thou dost but guess it, and how should his heart know?
Napoleon opening and reading another dispatch, now eastward.
Oh! The Orient likewise looms full somberly. The Turk declines pacifically, to yield what I have promised Alexander.
Ah, as for Constantinople being his prize, I'll see him frozen first.
His flight's too high, and showing that I think so makes him cool.
Rises.
Assault the Duke Dalmatia yet at hand?
Officer, he has arrived along the Lyon Road just now, Your Majesty, and only waits the close of your perusals.
Enter Soult, who is greeted by Napoleon.
First deserter, good Lord deliver us from all great men, and take me back again to humble life.
That's Marshal Soult, the Duke of Dalmatia.
Second deserter, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.